world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 207. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Larry Rosenberg. Welcome, Larry.
Happy to be here with you, Don.
Thank you, sir. Larry, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
Yes, and I'm doing that YES in all caps.
All right, we want to hear the whole story. After 40 years as a marketing professor and consultant, last year, Larry Rosenberg turned his joy of singing into a new career at the age of 71. He launched The Larry Show, inspirational entertainment to help people heal, grow, and share, as he has done with his life. He created two one-man musical shows based on his life story and performed them in the U.S. and overseas. He found his life dream, passion, and purpose. Larry, that's a summary of your career to date. Tell us more about what you're doing now that has you engaged and excited, please.
The Larry Show that I created last year is the embodiment of the joy and love and enthusiasm and inspirational message that I want to bring to the world. So my main show is 70 minutes. It's a chronology of my life, autobiographical. And the subtitle is interesting, My Liberation from the Lie. And the lie is that we have to grow up in a certain way, basically like our parents, school, and in general, culture, media say so. So I have found myself over 70 years. I have created the life that is authentic to me, that is fulfilling to me. And it's about inspirational entertainment. So Entertainment, singing, dancing, humor, costume changes, audience participation, and embedded in that is a message. The message of it's never too late to follow your dream. It's your life, not anybody else's. And go out and find your passion and follow your purpose.
My word, we are so philosophically in sync, we must have been separated at birth.
Could be.
No, that's fantastic.
You've got the tall genes.
This is really fascinating. Well, what was the catalyst to propel you into the Larry Show?
The initial catalyst was that I'm in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
And Sedona, and I'm ostensibly retired, although I need to be active. My mind, my body, my spirit needs to be active. And so I, as a child, was a singer. I sang in front of my family at a club of cousins. And then life happens and you get some criticism of your voice and the voice changes and the singing goes underground. Mm-hmm. So 4 years ago, I took singing lessons. And then when I had my 70th birthday party, my 71st birthday party, I included a concert for the guests right before the cake was cut. See? Captive audience.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it so much. Piano accompaniment, and I sang my favorite songs, mainly Broadway, Elvis, Beatles. And then it hit me, the epiphany, a year and a half ago. This is what I want to do all the time, not just once a year on my birthday. The next day, by coincidence, of course there is no coincidence, I ran into Chandra Jepperson here in Sedona, the foremost singer, songwriter, entertainer, DJ, and coach. I asked her, would she work with me so I could do concerts and shows? And she said, I see you doing a one-man show. The idea had never occurred to me. The next day, I started writing the script.
Good heavens. Did you know Chandra before?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I knew her for since I moved here 10 years ago. But she was always like up there on the stage, and I was a professor, consultant, trainer type, trying to fit into Sedona, new mm-hmm. age and all that. Mm-hmm. But now I went to her and I said, I want to hire you. I want your expertise. I want you to coach me.
Perfect. Wow. This is unbelievable. And how many shows have you done?
I've done 15 shows in a year and a half, Arizona, Australia, Scotland.
Oh, my word.
And I estimate that 450 people have been in the audience, and I have 50 testimonials.
Oh, wow.
I have to read And I don't believe that I'm that good.
I bet you are.
Thank you.
I bet you are.
I'm having fun. I'm living my dream. I could not say that in the past 70 years.
You know what, Larry? Most people can't say that.
The 1%, yes.
Yes, that's why your show is so inspired and so brilliant because, and I love the subhead, My Liberation from the Lie.
Thank you.
I think it's just exactly on target.
Yeah, it took me a year to find that.
Well.
And finally, originally it was Riding the Roller Coaster, which is kind of generic. And I always give advice when I'm put on my marketing consulting hat. Your tagline should be unique.
Right.
And personal and powerful. And a friend said, you know what you're about, Larry? Liberating yourself from the lie. Capital T, capital L.
Right. The lie. Exactly.
And we all face the lie. The feedback I get is that, Larry, your life is different than my life, but it's the same life.
Right.
Because it's the same dynamics.
Yes.
Education, career, relationships, emotions, spirituality, meaning of life.
Yes.
Purpose, legacy.
Yes, all of it.
All things. And, you know, I'm in my 70s, so I'm asking these questions. And the Larry Show gives me the answer.
Well, exactly, because there's so many pieces to the answer, it's almost unfathomable. You know, when people say about career planning, they talk about life and career planning, and what do you think about that? Because I've been around it for so long, and I say it's extraordinarily complex because human beings are the most complex entity in the cosmos. You know?
Indeed. And I think we muddle forward and get perspective and meaning by looking backward or looking at ourselves in the moment.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's do the backstory on Larry Rosenberg. As you know, as we've talked about, and as you also know, everyone's life is composed of turning points. The experts say every 6 or 7 years, we face obstacles and opportunities and choices that determine the next period of our lives. Would you share with listeners some of the more memorable turning points in the life of Larry Rosenberg?
Okay. Let's start with the base. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, 1940s and 50s, middle class parents, no education. I was the first one to get a bachelor's in the extended family. And
what did your parents do? Excuse me for interrupting.
My father had a store,
okay,
a produce market, Bill's Market. And I jokingly said, in the next stage of my life, getting a PhD in marketing and becoming a marketing professor, that I got a PhD in my father's store.
Okay.
And that's the cutting edge, that my parents had low expectations or modest expectations. They were family oriented. They were Jewish. They were comfortable in Philadelphia. No idea to travel. Never went to ethnic restaurants. It's keep it all in the family. Mm-hmm. And from a very early age, I had high expectations. And it made me different.
Where did those come from? If your parents didn't have them, what inspired you to have them?
I had a rich imagination. Wow. And so when I saw Disney movies, when I read books, especially international, early television I grew up with, a new window on the world, movies, I realized that I wanted to be in the bigger world and that the small world of my parents get me out of here.
Okay.
I love them, I accept them, but I have my life to live.
Yes. So how did that manifest as you rolled along in education, for example?
Well, got a bachelor's.
No, before that, even when you were a young child in grammar school and all, were you creative there? Did you use your talents there?
Yes, yes. My father went away for World War II, and when he came back, I was 3 years old. I mean, we had to get to know each other again, and he said that he was nervous around me. Because I was so precocious.
Wow.
I was talkative. I sang. I danced. I was out there. And it took us 40 years to heal our relationship, to have an equal, normal, healthy, loving, caring relationship. Fortunately, we had that for 10 years.
That's beautiful.
So I knew I wanted to do things beyond what Philadelphia was offering and what my extended family was doing. And so I went away to graduate school in Ohio State, from Philadelphia to Columbus, Ohio. For me, was a big deal, mm-hmm, that transition.
Were you in business when you were an undergrad? Okay.
Yes, I was practical. The style then was engineering, but I was more comfortable with business, and marketing appealed to me.
Okay.
It seemed like one of the more creative business fields.
It was.
As you know, Don.
Yes.
So I leveraged it, MBA, PhD, and then a marketing professor, first at New York University. So I was an intellect. Today I call myself a recovering academic. Because that phase of my life, what you call the early career, gave me a platform for the growth of my career in life, but it focused me too narrow. Mm-hmm. And so my next phase was international business, where I traveled a lot. And then I actually, in my late career...
Wait. I want to know the details. So you got your MBA, and this was at Ohio State, right?
And correct.
Did you go right on through and get your PhD in marketing?
Yes. I always ask myself, where's my excellence? What am I best at? And an MBA usually takes people into the corporate world.
Yes.
But I said, I don't think I'm best there. And I looked at my professors and I said, wow, they have power, they have prestige, and I want that. Mm-hmm. So I say I reenlisted from my MBA to get my PhD.
Wow.
And I wanted to be like them. They were my role models.
So you went straight through. Did you just blast through all of that?
Right. 9 years, 3 degrees. My project, it's almost like getting a man on the moon.
Yes.
My project was to build my intellect. But in the process, I didn't do the socializing and the emotional growth and no time for anything spiritual and not much time for anything physical.
Wow.
I mean, I became a mind and a head. It served me, but it took me decades to balance myself,
mm-hmm.
be holistic, mm-hmm. which is why I'm in Sedona, because it's easy to be holistic here.
Yes.
Mind, body, spirit.
All right. So when you finished your 9 years, is that college through the PhD?
Correct.
Okay.
Day I entered as an undergraduate to the day I got my PhD.
What was your dissertation about?
My dissertation was about, it was a sociological approach to distribution channels.
Oh, I love that.
I received a grant from the Carrier Air Conditioning Company.
Of course.
And I interviewed and sent questionnaires to people at their manufacturing level, their distributors in the Midwest, and their dealers in the Midwest. And I put together a sociological model. And for decades, it was footnoted as an innovation in the field.
Wow. I can hear that. It resonates just in the telling of it. What did you do next when you got through with all that education?
Well, what does it prepare you for?
Academic. Professor. Right.
So my first job was New York City, New York University, and that was my identity. And then I started to meet international people, both friends and business contacts and academics, when I was living in New York, and that got me around the world.
Okay.
And especially it got me to Japan.
Okay.
And so between 71 and 89, I visited Japan 13 times. And then I received a job offer from the University of Maryland, University College. And I ended up living 10 years in Japan.
Now, wait a minute. I missed the thread of the story. So 71 to 89, you were in Japan 13 times. But where did the University of Maryland tie into this?
I did some freelance training for them.
Okay.
And they were expanding. In 89, a year later, Japan was in a recession, which they have not recovered from. But anyway, in 89, they were number one, Ichiban. And I was offered a job to be on the staff of a freestanding training, management training institute in Tokyo.
Oh, my word.
So my big thing in life is approach avoidance. So after New York was exciting, and then it started to become tedious.
Right.
And I also was married and divorced there, which casts a shadow. Mm-hmm. And then next, I was at Amherst, Massachusetts, University of Massachusetts. And that was an exciting lifestyle in contrast to New York. But eventually, it started to feel dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was visiting Japan twice a year.
Were you consulting for various companies when you were in Japan?
I was lecturing.
Okay.
I was lecturing. The Japanese are vociferous in gathering information on trends and strategies and predictions. And my field was marketing, distribution, retailing, non-store retailing,
mm-hmm.
which was all before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I predicted the internet without knowing what the internet was.
Oh, my word.
It's e-commerce without knowing. And I was a very popular lecturer. One of my lectures, 1,000 people showed up.
Golly.
the Wall Street Journal of Japan, the Honkai Shinbun. They had a lottery. They ran out of, it was free tickets, and they had more than 1,000. They had to institute a lottery. People were begging to get in.
So you were the marketing version of Edwards Dimmings.
Well, my modesty makes me mistake. But if you say so, Don, I'll take the accolade.
Well, they were, you know, they learned from really smart people, and he was a smart person too that gave some huge innovations to them when our country wouldn't listen to him. So maybe you were there on the e-commerce side early on.
Early on. And my love of Japan was so great that I ended up living and working there 10 years and had Japanese clients that flew me around the world to give workshops to their management class, non-Japanese employees.
Were you able through this process to come back to yourself? Because you talked about the 9 years that you were in academia. You were just an intellectual, just hammering out the hard work, but you let your emotional, physical, and spiritual side lay fallow. So did you come back to yourself in Japan?
Yes, to a large extent. Number one, the Japanese culture gave me a freedom that I was not feeling in the United States. It broke the chains. It helped liberate me from, okay, this is what it means to be an American, or means to be a Jewish American, or an American from Philadelphia who's an intellect. So in Japan, I had the freedom to play, to experiment. And that's another theme in my life, experimenting to find innovations in, in how to live. I also, very frankly, was exploring my sexuality in new ways. I knew from very early that I was gay. Okay. I buried it. I married a woman, painfully at the time, but luckily in hindsight, fell apart. And in Japan, I accepted who I was and I explored who I was. And that was a big part of the liberation.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. How old were you when you had that breakthrough?
In my late 40s.
Okay.
I often say I'm a slow learner, a late bloomer. But when I learn and when I bloom, watch out, world.
Well, let me ask you, this is a fascinating story. Thank you for sharing. Let me ask you to comment, especially with your background as a human being and an intellectual and many other things. The statistics, as we've discussed, are overwhelming about people not finding their what I call sweet spot. We know there are lots of reasons for that, but they're not doing what they love. They may be making a good living. They may be doing productive work. But it's not in harmony with the various dimensions of who they are around the world. What do you think that's about? It's a complex question, but you're a complex guy, so take a crack at it.
We are brainwashed when we are born. We're a white canvas, and our parents, our culture, our schools, our media steers us in certain directions. And I consider myself lucky. I didn't like the direction that I was steered in. And so at some point, the dissatisfaction has to be turned inward to exploring who I am. What do I really want? What direction do I really want to go in? That kind of honesty about your dissatisfaction. And then there's so many options that we have. And that to me is experimenting, having the courage. And I'm going to underscore the word courage.
Yes.
Having the courage to experiment, to go out of the normal track, to take a sidetrack, to play, to innovate. And that to me is growing up, breaking out, finding yourself. And then when you find enough of yourself, it takes a whole life, I think, to really find yourself. Then it's over.
Yes.
Goes into another stage if you want to go there.
Sure.
But at some point, it's like, well, I know enough about myself. I figured out enough. And now I'm going to have the courage to create. And that means letting go. I stopped being a marketing professor. I stopped being a marketing consultant and trainer. I mean, I do it on the side for people I meet in Sedona. But my commitment, my what I call my new career, the Larry Show, was me finally saying, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And it's my choice and my journey and my life, and I'm going to live it fully.
Well, given that you are from the time you were just a little person, you have been precocious and thinking for yourself, and you just didn't fit in the mold. So you have that dimension to you that, frankly, a lot of people don't have. Most people don't have. Let's get real. Most people don't have that. So if they're out there listening and they say, well, that's great, but he's he just had that in all along. There's still a way for people to do what you've done and what others have done. What resources can they draw on to be able to chisel that path out, take the road less traveled instead of the brick in the wall, is the brainwash path? How can they do that?
Well, first they have to decide that they want to do it.
Precisely.
They have to choose.
Precisely.
Decide is rational. Choose is mind, body, spirit. It's your whole being wants to choose. Right. And I use the metaphor a lot of masks and mirrors.
Okay.
We wear masks. Okay, I'm an executive. I'm a truck driver. I'm a father. And to take the mask off, what's under the mask? And then to look in the mirror. You take the mask off, you can look in the mirror. Who am I? What do I really want to do? These are the huge philosophical questions, but we have to break them down to what we're doing. And when New York wasn't serving me, I went to Amherst, Massachusetts. When Amherst started to seem small, I went to Tokyo. When Tokyo seemed cold, I went to Washington, D.C. When Washington, D.C. started to seem limiting in terms of who I was discovering, who I was and what kind of life I wanted to lead, I ended up in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, physically moving, meeting new people, letting go of old people,
yes.
Old friends and contacts was part of my growth process. And then exposing oneself to new information, new knowledge, new wisdom. And I don't have one book. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I have an author that profoundly helped me in this process about 6 years ago.
Good.
It's Ken Wilber, W-I-L-B-E-R. And he is a genuine American philosopher. But, you know, we don't lionize our philosophers in America.
Did he write The Truth About Everything?
Yes, you got it. He's written 30 books. His nickname is the Einstein of consciousness evolution.
Right.
And basically, that's what my life has been around. And I think people have the choice to make their lives about it, too. Am I growing my consciousness?
Yes.
Beyond Jewish Philadelphia, am I growing my consciousness? Beyond America, grew my consciousness, Japanese, global. And then I grew my consciousness to holistic. And that's where Sedona came in. And then that opened me up to allow me to discover in a serendipitous aha epiphany moment that I am the Larry Show. And I am an inspirational entertainer. So Ken Wilber wrote 30 books. They're all good. They're all in print, translated into 60 languages.
Oh, my word.
Probably after he dies, he'll become famous like Hegel and Nietzsche
right. And
Spinoza. But right now, you can read his book. Tons of YouTubes. Ken Wilber, W-I-L-B-E-R. And very inspiring, very holistic. The best philosophy of the East, which is mainly about awakening.
Yes.
Best philosophy about America, which is mainly about development, stages of development and growth.
Yes.
And he's helped me with a loose roadmap, but I've been hacking at the bush and figuring out who I am. It's helpful to have some roadmap.
Oh, no, it is.
Even when you have to throw it away.
No, I think it's essential.
Yeah.
It's essential. What have been the most powerful takeaways spiritually, emotionally, physically, intellectually, interpersonally, organically, in your life for you, Larry Rosenberg, taking the road less traveled and doing all the things you've been describing in this last 25 minutes? What have been the most palpable benefits?
Well, the benefits are being comfortable in my own skin, being able to go to sleep at night and feel that I'm living the life that I'm meant for. And we can only do that by choosing our life and creating it, elaborating it and expanding it, or waking up in the morning ready to go for the day, enthusiastic and joyful for the day,
yes.
Not getting as many colds, had a history of bronchitis and stuff, and I rarely get colds today.
What do you attribute that to?
The mind and the body are two sides of a coin.
That's right.
You can't have a coin with one side. So if your mind, and I include the spirit and emotions in that as well, if the mind is whole, the mind is fulfilled, the mind feels complete, the mind feels joyful. I'm very big on sustained joy.
Yes.
Very big on unconditional love. Great theory, challenge to implement. But,
yes. You
know, I think we have to have goals and standards. And I look at myself and I say, how do I get perfect health? I want to enjoy life until I go on to the other side of the veil. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to enjoy this life. And that's my vision.
Yes.
You know, where people don't have a vision, they perish.
Yes.
They get lost.
Yes.
So I've clarified my vision. It used to be a successful marketing professor or to have a successful relationship or to live in exotic Japan or travel around the world and stay at five-star hotels. Well, that doesn't buzz me anymore.
Yes.
And so it's being loving, it's being peaceful, it's having good friends, it's being in harmony with the environment, with the earth. And in Sedona, we have 100 miles of trails, and I'm going to do all 100.
Oh, man, I'm so excited for you. I just have to ask you this quick question. When was Sedona implanted in your being about that you knew one day you had to be there? How long ago did you think about Sedona?
In 1960, I was in Beijing, China, and I had an illness. And I got back to America, it just wouldn't go away. It led me to holistic health and finally for me to manage stress. I had been successful, but I had never really learned to manage stress. And it was weakening my body and it was unhinging my emotions. So I went holistic. Someone suggested that I take advanced training in holistic healing and health in Sedona. I had never heard of Sedona 12 years ago. Came to Sedona for the first workshop, came back for 6 more, and fell in love with Sedona. I love Sedona at the sunrise. Oh. I love Sedona at sunset. So I moved here, and I thank God every day that I'm living in Sedona.
What are you proudest of, Larry Rosenberg?
Proudest of that I finally figured out, slowly, mistakes along the way, but they were all learning, that I finally figured out who I am, and I'm now qualified, in all humility, I'm now qualified to help others in the process, hopefully earlier than me, hopefully with less stress and strain and pain and suffering.
Yes.
And that's what the Larry Show does. It puts up a mirror to people. It's never too late to find out who you are, mind, body, spirit, and to fine-tune or to transform your life so that you can say, as I'm on this planet, I don't say I'm 72 years old. I say I have 72 years on this planet.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm loving it.
Yes. Well, it's clear. Larry Rosenberg, what a great pleasure being with you today. We appreciate so much you sharing the highlights of your amazing journey, and I know that our listeners have learned lessons that will help them on theirs in many, many ways. How do those listeners get in touch with you?
My website is the best way, thelarryshow.com. It has all my other contact information, and I'm happy to network. I'm also on Facebook under Larry Rosenberg. And just last year, someone from Edinburgh sent me a text on Facebook and saying, I have something to learn from you. Can we have a Skype call? We became friends. I spent a month with him in Scotland, Edinburgh suburb, Linlithgow. And now and from that experience, I had fun and I grew. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. Perfect. Listeners know that you can go to our website, Discover Talent Podcast, and click on podcast and find Larry Rosenberg, the highlights of this illuminating interview, as well as the links to connect with him. As you also know, we've got an ebook that you've heard me talk about for a while now, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. Larry has really shed light on all of those strategies today and as he shared his life journey with us. It's free, and we see it as just a Kickstarter for wherever you are in your life, and hope you'll take advantage of it. You can also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher to our podcast. We would love for you to, if you like our content, join us and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.